Today's date is March 15th, 2023, and this is a follow-up interview with Kay about the last few years since the first COVID lockdown. Okay, so I want to just ask first, 3 years later, what are your feelings now about the first lockdown?
Well, I did prepare a bit, but I said, I was super busy, so It's not like maybe my idea wouldn't be too fluent.
That's okay.
My first impression would be how much I can forget about things. Like, to think back what happened 3 years ago, it's like a dream for me. You know, In a way, are we going to interact or am I just going to be the only person?
it should mostly be you speaking, but, I'll maybe ask a couple questions along the way.
Okay. So that would be my first, you know, feeling or impression if I am asked the question. But I still remember how horrified I was when it first happened. Like, if you tell me 3 years ago that I've been wearing a mask for 3 years, that would be unimaginable for me. But, you know, 3 years just went by. And, that's, you know, that would be my first impression to the answer. Like, I am impressed by myself, like how I forget or how I can move on after such a dramatic event.
Okay. So, like, what about, like, what's happened since that first lockdown, with all the many other lockdowns and the other restrictions, or anything else that maybe has impacted your life since that first lockdown?
I would say, well, maybe for many people, they may have, you know, people passing by during the event, or maybe they've lost close ones or friends. But for me, my life has changed in a good way since then. Like, I'd say personally, it made it made my marriage happen sooner than expected, because my husband, we were together back then. So that would be how I was in fact influenced by that event. And, well, to be honest, when I think about the lockdowns back then, like, I would remember how, like I wouldn't be, I was not very bothered by the fact that I was not free, because you were so horrified by the fact that you might be dead the next month or something. But, you know, I was not very, my life was not, like, I wouldn't, like, I was not, I don't think I was very much influenced by the lockdown restrictions. You can't go out.
So, like, you said, like, your marriage happened sooner than you expected. Can you explain that?
Oh, yeah, that I can. Because my neighborhood was one of the most, how do you say, disastrous areas in the first year in Wuhan. So it was very difficult for us. And my neighborhood was one of the first ones to stop the elevator going. It was January or February, I forgot, but it was the first wave of the lockdowns. And basically, we couldn't even use the elevator. And my husband and I, we had to go out to, we literally had to hunt for food, because most of the convenience shops, they were just dropped empty. Like, there were instant noodles or flour you can pay for. But we had to hunt shop by shop for food, eggs, and fruits for my grandparents, who lived 15 minutes walk from us. So we walked all the way there, and we were lucky enough to find food for my grandparents. And then on the way back, we had to buy things for ourselves, for my family, for my mom, my husband, and me.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we arrived, my building, the elevator stopped. Like, they only gave us 1 hour at noontime mm-hmm. to use the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
So we passed that time limit. And we had to climb 20 floors, carrying mm-hmm. all the supplies we mm-hmm. bought.
mm-hmm.
And I still remember how terrified we were, because many people already died in my neighborhood. Like, in the building I lived in, there were people passed away.
Okay.
Because of COVID.
Right.
So, like, to walk out from our home was a great challenge for my husband and I. And we had to wear masks when we were walking upstairs, because, you know, we were afraid there were virus in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband had to, he would go upstairs carrying the eggs and fruits and then come down to pick up things from me, because
mm-hmm.
we bought everything we could.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, moved me a lot. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, so, you know, that was like, you know, I decided that I could trust this man for my whole life. You know, I was ready to spend the rest of my life with him.
Mm.
Yeah, you know.
mm-hmm.
I guess you understand how, you know, something about Chinese marriage, the financial aspect in Chinese, financial role in Chinese marriage.
Right.
So I'd say it was that event, or specifically that day, you know, that mm-hmm. made me decide to overlook the financial
situation.
Maybe situation. Yeah, right.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huh. That's a very moving story there, actually. So, like, apart from your, like, marriage during this time and the first lockdown, has anything else changed in your life since that time?
Just in my life generally? Or
yeah, yeah.
Have the links with the lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, like, I guess so. I mean, I'll leave it up to you. You know, you can...
Okay.
Kind of decide how you.
Well, sorry. Apart from my marriage, the biggest thing in my life is I became a mom.
mm-hmm. And when was that again?
1.5 years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being such a caring friend.
Right.
You're going to have to. That part out, right?
Yeah, because
yeah.
You know, I mean, I of course know, but you know, the recording doesn't know that.
oh right, so the machine doesn't know. The machine has no feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was 1.5 years ago.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And has there been like any challenges, like, I guess, raising your son during this kind of, I guess, wild period of, like, lots of lockdowns and restrictions? Has there been any challenges?
That was just, like, one thing for me, really, When my son was born, there was like, you know, one of the many waves, the COVID came back.
Mm-hmm.
So the hospital had a restriction that they would only allow 2 persons to look after the, you know, the woman mm-hmm. who would just deliver the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be my husband and another person.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to use that headcount for, a babysitter,
mm-hmm.
or like a nanny.
Yeah.
You know, the professional ones to take care of the newborns.
Mm-hmm.
So and I guess that had some effect, negative effect on my life. Because my mom was, she had some physical unwellness happened that day, exact day before my delivery. So we had to hire another person who we don't know. And yeah, well, for me, it was like a hard day because most of the families, they had like family members to cook for you, and they would send the food to the hospital and you can pick it up. The people who are in the hospital, they can pick it up and give it to the, to the mom, to the new mom. But it was just me and my husband, so I was the only one who had to eat the cold fruit in the waiting room. I don't know how to say it
In the
in English.
hospital.
It was like the specific area in the waiting room. So you wait there with all the other, big bellies until you are ready to do. And when you are there, your husband and family, they can't take care of you. So they could only send the food outdoor, and the nurse would pick up the food for you. There would be a 15 minutes visiting time at lunchtime when your one person could come in and see you. But because we were so inexperienced, and I guess my husband, he was so young, he's still young. So I was the only one who didn't have food, and I had to wait until all the husbands were gone, and then my husband showed up with the dabao food for me. That was quite sad. I
That was what?
guess that was quite sad for me because it was very painful. It was very hurtful, and I was the only person without anyone, around me during that 15 minutes visiting time. And I guess if there were no such restrictions because of the lockdown, then maybe my cousins or, my aunties, they would come and, prepare food for me. Yeah, but, that was just like one day. It wasn't such a big deal. And I would say now I remembered when I was pregnant, I was very now and again. Like I would be very concerned about the COVID situation, that I would be worried that what would happen if I got infected. But also, that's part of my feelings now towards the lockdown. I don't know. Maybe it's the weakness of humanity that you move on and you forgot about the scars. Because when I was pregnant, I was still at work. And in my company, there were many, many people, but everybody wore mask. So in a way, I was, distracted by my work, of course, and I had a very bitchy boss at then at the time. So most of the time, I was not paranoid, or I didn't think much about, me potentially getting infected because there was no one around us getting infected during my pregnancy. That was one thing. And I don't know. Now I just thought about like one thing I'd like to share with you. You can decide where to put that. Yeah, I remember before the first lockdown, the first wave, how I was bothered by my bitchy boss. Like I would be unhappy and whining every day, all day about my work. Like, why did I come here? How did these things happen to me? Why do I have such a bitchy boss? And then the next day, all you think about is, would I still be alive next month? So, yeah, that was like a very, how do you say,
Maybe say,
mindful
right.
change for me. Like how I just quickly shifted the focus of my attention. Like forget about your boss, just stay alive. Yeah. And I don't know if I ever told you before that, you probably still remember her. That's her English name in Janda.
Yeah.
The boyish girl. Did I tell you about that before?
I don't think so.
Her parents are the only close that you can, if I can put this way, the only people I know, I personally know,
mm-hmm.
who are infected by COVID during mm-hmm. the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So her parents were put in. I don't know if I can hook you guys up. If it is helpful for you, you can interview her. It might be helpful for your, you know. By the way,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, she speaks English.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
what happened?
Continue. Her parents were infected.
Mm-hmm.
They caught COVID.
Yeah.
During the first year when it was the most, when the disease or symptoms were the worst.
Right.
So both of her parents were sent into the Hoshensan, the hospital.
Right.
The special hospital.
Yeah, the temporary COVID hospital.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember how terrified she was when I, like, just by chance contacted her, because it was her birthday in February, and I was like, how is it going? And she was like, well, both of my parents are in hospital, and I am, you know, I am in the community hotel, because she was basically kicked out from her community. They wouldn't let her in.
Right.
Yeah. So that was like my closest link with the people who were like seriously infected by COVID. Sorry, my mind is widespread. I don't know.
That's okay. That's okay. But it obviously affected you. You know, in some way.
You mean the family's situation?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because I saw her, I met her parents when I was in my university. I stayed over at the place.
Mm-hmm.
And my father passed away more than a decade ago. But for me, it was like, at that time, I was like, shit, what if both of your parents died, you'd become an orphan. That was my, you know, how I reacted, silently in myself. I didn't speak it up.
Right.
But, you know, I was so bad for her because the situation was so bad in the first year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
And one of my really close colleagues, he had his daughter coming to life.
Mm-hmm. You mean born?
Yeah. She was born when, either in January or February. So basically when the situation was at the worst time.
Right.
And it was like a war for him. And how he described, you know, what he went through to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, shit. Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm just trying to say, me being like, maybe I am one of the, you know, lucky ones or
right.
ordinary one. Mm-hmm. You know, I am outside the circle of the, you know,
mm-hmm.
Hurricane.
Right.
Hurricane?
Is
it Horanko? What's that word?
Horror?
No. Typhoon. Typhoon.
Okay.
Okay.
What?
Hurricane.
Hurricane,
right?
Hurricane.
I'm losing my English. I can't say hurricane in English.
Mm.
So I am outside, you know, the hurricane. I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not like my life were torn upside down by it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You were kind of indirectly affected, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. So I guess I guess one last question, and is like, that is, what have you learned about yourself because of everything that's happened? And a lot has happened to you, actually.
Sorry, so, yeah.
A lot has happened to so what have you learned about yourself?
Oh, myself. Oh, I didn't see that question. Oh, yeah, I overlooked. I saw 1, 2, 4. That's three. What I learned about myself? Don't. I guess I became more grateful for my life, and I guess also, like, my life would be, how do I put it? Like, my life is very different from what I, imagined. That's it, 6 or 8 years ago. I am living a very simple, well, typical Chinese life, but I am very happy. Yeah, and I guess I don't really know how to, I don't really know if I answered the question, but yeah, I guess I learned more. Or maybe I can say I learned that I can live a seemingly, I'm losing my English, standard Chinese
Standard.
life. Yeah, I guess I can live standard Chinese life but be happy. Yeah. And to be honest, when I saw those questions you sent me that day last week, and I was like, I haven't think for such a long time. I had to prepare for Robert's questions. Like, I don't even know what I mean. Living a Chinese life is very different from living an English speaking life. I don't really think that much.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that you're very busy, with work and just parenting and,
Yeah.
and other responsibilities that you have, So like it can be very difficult to like take time to think.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, but I saw those questions and it's a in a I was how would you say challenged in a good way. It's like I don't really think anymore. I think things, like things, about work. How do I handle? How do I do this report? How do I handle my colleagues' relationship? How do I do parenting? But I don't really think, those human lives, human question. That's part of my standard Chinese life.
No, it is different for you, I'm sure. Okay, so I think we'll end the interview here, and before I actually stop recording, I'll say thank you, and I really appreciate you doing this.